Welcome to Generation Business. This is your host, Rick Rawls, and we're talking about building your wealth and understanding the keys to building strong financial acumen. And one of the things I've always told people is that, you know, 90% of people's issues are about their finances. That's mostly their stress is concerning their money. In learning to get wisdom, in learning how to invest in your money, it's a very important thing. I've been in finance for 20 years. I started out at learning at Wells Fargo when it was called Wachovia back in 2002. But I just found out that I loved finance so much, and it's insatiable to me, you know, to read and to understand all the ins and outs of finance, because it's a wonderful thing. It's just part of the passion that I have. And this is one of the reasons why I want to teach people about finance, so they would have the right acumen in understanding how to make good financial decisions, because that eliminates 98% of your stress is understanding your financial present, understanding your financial future, and understanding everything there is about your money. That will begin to eliminate tremendous amounts of stress in your life. And so as you learn to do that, one of the things you begin to do is just to make good financial decisions. And making good financial decisions is key, because you get to, you know, live off of the investments. You can have, you know, investments that cause, you know, that be compounded over and over and over, and you're living off of your investments because you've learned to make good financial decisions. And you know what you do with your hard-earned money is up to you. You've earned it, so you get to decide what you want to do with it, and no one else can tell you otherwise. But when you learn to really have that good financial acumen, you really begin to really learn, you know, eliminate things that you don't really need to be thinking about anymore. You learn to, you know, pay bills on time. You learn what making good deposits about, and all these other things. And I'm taking this information that I'm doing tonight on this podcast from FINRA.org, and we're going to be talking about stocks and bonds and mutual funds and exchange traded funds. Excuse me. We're also talking about bank products, options, annuities, retirement, saving for education, alternative and complex products, initial coin offerings, and cryptocurrencies, which is all the rage here. And we'll probably do a couple sessions on that so people can get an understanding of cryptocurrencies. And then commodity futures and security futures. And finally, insurance. And understanding, understanding the basics of money and understanding currency and understanding the different types of money. Most Americans are just concerned about, you know, the American dollar, which is understandable because it's a global currency. But there are other types of currency that are more valuable than the dollar. The gold is still the standard. It was in the mid to late 1970s that that standard was removed, and we're into the situation we are. But money used to be backed by gold. However much money was in Fort Knox was how much, you know, we were, you know, the country was backed up on. And so that's, you know, important to understand, is, you know, about the different mechanisms of how, you know, what causes a recession, when a recession has, understanding that people make money during a recession. It is not what people think all the time. I still remember when I was in New York and during the 2007-08 recession, I was there and I laughed because everybody, people were making fun of people, you know, and people were distraught, everything. But I was always talking about how African American people and Hispanic people were not impacted by it. They were still shopping. I mean, it was just shopping. And so it's just interesting how people perceive certain things as a recession and, you know, all these things. But you want to be aware of those things and how they impact on a very minuscule level. And part of what this generation business is to give you just a basic knowledge of, you know, these things. And we'll go through these. Like I said, I've already named them all. But we'll go through these so you understand. And understanding, we're going to be talking about stocks first. And I might not get through all of these in this. I'm going to try to make this 15 to 20 minutes. But understanding that, you know, when you have things like stocks, understanding the investments, because you want, you know, when you invest in something, you want to get a return. And that's what stocks do. One of the things about stocks is when you invest in a stock, you become one of the owners of a corporation. Stocks represent ownership and shares, also known as equity shares. Whether you make or lose money depends on the success or the failure of the company, which type of stock you own, and what's going on with stock. One of the favorite companies that I have in stock is expensive stock. I focus on Berkshire Hathaway. It's like one of my favorite companies. That and BlackRock. Berkshire Hathaway is a very large company run by somebody that I look up to, even though we don't have direct contact, is Warren Buffett. And Warren Buffett is a brilliant financial genius, and so he's part of my psychic council. If you don't know what a psychic council is just a group of people that you have in your mind that you talk to, people that you think about. And, you know, you can just sit there and, you know, just listen to what they have to say. You read that in the book of The Law of Success. Napoleon Hill talks about that, about having your psychic counsel. And the word psychic just means, psyche, the mind. It just means in most parts. I mean, there's a mystical part to that, and that comes from the spirit within you. That comes from the spirit within you. But, you know, a lot of times when people have a psychic counsel, it's of the mind. And that's one of the reasons, because it's a psyche, you want to be able to feed your mind these information. And so, you know, in this, one of the things is, like, you know, Berkshire Hathaway is an expensive stock because the stock has actually risen $120,000. I really just checked on it last, so it tells you how long. But the stock price of that is $480,000, and $480,837.25. And so that's an expensive stock. I mean, just one stock will cost you like somebody's salary in finance alone. But there are companies that buy a share, and it's a valuable company. It's a valuable company because one of the things about having a valuable company like that is, you know, you have a lot of investors that are helping you to, you know, just, you know, in, be important. And understanding the stock when you, you know, and take this company and just understanding, you know, parts of this. So you understand Berkshire Hathaway. So you invest in, there are two parts to Berkshire Hathaway. One is Berkshire A, which is what I just told you. And the other one is B, B stock is a little bit more, affordable. Which is $318.99. It doesn't have as much weight as the other one, but it's still has a lot of, it's still you get part of the company. And what you get, understanding that you become owner, you know, part owner of a company. And one of the things you take this company, you know, and you can see, you know, why the company is so important. Berkshire Hathaway has 20 to 40 different subsidiaries. I mean, everything from insurance to, you know, food brands. And so they're in, furniture and bricks and, you know, building. And, you know, they even have Dairy Queen as one of their companies that they own shares of. And they seize Candies and Shaw's Industries, Diamond Company and Home Services. And they also do, you know, retail. So, you know, that's a valuable company because they're in the everyday part of life. A lot like my company, we do everyday, you know, part of life things. We have to do everything from, you know, retail services to, you know, rentals and building services. So, you know, when you know, being a part of this company, you know, you invest in it, say that $318, and you're buying a number of shares, you buy 100 shares of that, and it's like $30,000 or so, you know, you become a shareholder in that company. And in that, one of the things that you begin to do, you're part of their meeting, you're part of their, you're part of their, you know, annual, you know, get together, talk, you know, shareholders meeting. And so that's really important to understand about stocks. And so, that's just an example of a company with stocks. But we're going to talk about a little bit more about Stock Basic. Stock Basics, there's two ways to make money with stocks. There's dividends, like we just discussed with Berkshire Hathaway. When you invest money into that company, when they're profitable, you can choose, you know, they can choose to distribute earnings to the shareholders by paying a dividend. You can take dividends either by in cash or reinvest them to purchase more and more shares in the company. And so, you know, that's one of the things, and that generates income. You know, people do that with theirs. And then there's capital gains, and you've probably heard the term capital gains tax. Capital gains are stocks that are bought and sold constantly throughout the trading. That happens a lot working, working around Wall Street and working with people. You've seen this in movie like Big Business and other, The Wolf of Wall Street and everything. It's like that big hectic part, and that's how that's worked, you know. So they're constantly bought and sold today. You have loans when somebody has a home loan. A lot of times bank will package home loans together and sell them back and forth all day long. And where they may take $6 million worth of home loans and package them and to sell them. That's considerable amounts of money. You know, and so their prices change all the time. So when the stock goes higher and higher, than what you get paid for, you can sell your price. You can always sell your stock at for a profit. These profits are known as capital gains. You know, you can also incur a capital loss if you sell it for less than what you paid for it. And they both depend, both of these situations depend on the on the results or earnings of a company. And you can always find that out there. Their earnings calls every quarter, and they will talk about what they've earned, their forecast, you know, their goals or their misses, their hits or their misses. And so that really, makes a difference. Like one of the companies that just had a very bad rocky start, both Amazon and Netflix both had a very rocky first quarter, the first 3 months of the year. Netflix lost, 200,000 subscribers, and Amazon, lost, and they'll bounce back. But that's an example of, when the company is successful and when the company's not. You can lose stock. They lost a lot, in that. One of the things is about demand. Demand normally reflects the prospects for a company's future performance. Strong demand that results in many investors wanting to buy a particular stock. For instance, many people want to buy Amazon stock. This tends to result in an increase in the stock share price, meaning that if the stock share price started at $25, the more people want to buy it, then it shoots up. And you've seen companies shoot up to like, Tesla shot up to like $1,100 one time, and then, you know, brought it back down because everybody wants that company. It's the hot stock. And so, that's a big deal. On the other hand, if the company isn't profitable or investors are selling rather than buying, you know, your shares can be worth than what you lose. So, whether the company or the shares are doing well, a lot of times is dependent on the entire stock market. I mean, you've heard where the Dow Jones is falling, and that's a group of stocks that, you know, or a particular one. Then you have the industrials, and don't have time to go into all that. This is such a complex thing. I'm trying to make it as simple as possible. But anyway, it will depend on the holistic, investors are having a bad day like they did last week or a couple of days ago. If it's 200 points, that's overall arching of the entire performance of the entire portfolio of companies within that. And just real quickly, how you read a company, it's really important to know how to read. And we'll go over that stock reading at some other point. But it's what they call a ticker. And like Berkshire Hathaway's ticker, is demarcation of what that company, is. And I think it's BRK. And then a lot of times you can just see that's the name of the company. That's what's assigned to the company. And then what's happened after that is that's assigned to the company. And then one of the things that happens is that by that particular ticker, for that day, you will see, stock price, like it was BRK, and it's on the New York Stock Exchange, which is NYSE, you'll see. And it's, it'll have a plus or minus. Normally it's green or red. So if it's plus, it means it rose. And if it's minus, it lost. And so that's one of the things to really understand about stock prices. And I only got a few more minutes. Finance is so interesting, but it's so involved. So let me go over a couple more points. We can just go over these. There are types of stocks. Let's go over, talk about types of stocks. Types of stocks are, there are several types of stock. There are, types of stocks are common and preferred stocks. You can buy two kinds of stock. Publicly traded companies issue common stock. So that means, everybody, can get it. And then some preferred stocks, which expose you to some of the less risky money, but provides less potential for return. In that returns includes any income that you receive from investment plus any changes in its value. So if you bought Berkshire B at, $318 and then it shot up to $400 and you decided to sell, then you would make that extra, $72. That would be depending on how many of those stocks you sold. So you can, if you did the $1,000, the 1,000 stocks, or you would make, $72,000, or whatever it is, you would make extra money because you knew of the change in value. If you hold common stock, you're in a position to share the company's success or feel when it's not. The share prices rise all the time. So everything rises all the time. Share prices rise all the time and fall all the time. It could be a few cents or a few dollars. There are no price ceilings, so it's impossible for shares to double or triple or moreover, though they could also lose value. So it's possible that they could shares to double or triple or more over time. So in the stock market is a long game. You don't play the short term in the stock market. It's a long game. I remember when stocks were down during the recession, and Bank of America were like $1, and then you know, they were literally $1, and then Warren Buffett actually bought several billion dollars worth of it, and that sort of kind of got the company into its leveraged state, and then he took warrants on that, which meant, you know, he could exercise it later. Something that particular stock can do. Holders of preferred stock, on the other hand, are usually guaranteed a dividend payment, and their dividends are always paid out before the dividends on common stock. So if you're investing in mostly income, in this case, dividends, preferred stock may be attractive. So, you know, you decide what you want. Another point of the difference between common stock and preferred stock has to do with what happens if the company fails. In that event, there is a priority list for the company obligations, and obligations to preferred stockholders must be met before common stockholders. On the other hand, preferred stockholders are lower on the list of investors to be reimbursed than bondholders, and we'll talk about that later. There are the classes of stock, like what I told you about Berkshire Hathaway. Certain classes, and these are publicly traded companies. They offer class shares or share classes, you know, typically of the letter of the alphabet, like A or B, like Berkshire A, you know, almost, you know, $420,000, and then Berkshire B, you know, $318. So it's how that works. You know, it's really interesting. When a company has dual shares, and that's what it's called, though it is more common for one share class to be publicly traded and the other one to be non-traded. Non-traded shares are generally reserved for company founders or current management. That you hear companies going public, and that's what they do. They hand out stock to their people. There are often restrictions on selling these shares, and they tend to have what's known as a super voting power. This makes it possible for insiders to own less than half of the total shares of a company, but control the outcome of issues. And Mark Zuckerberg kind of does that with Facebook. You know, he owns the voting rights, the majority rights of the voting for that company. So he can outrule anybody. And like in my company, I own all the companies that I own, I'm the last say in everything. In addition to all these other things, in addition to all the understanding, it's also understanding, what are your passions lie, and what do you feel like you want to invest in, and really understanding, you know, those types of things, like all the stocks in that way and shape. So, you know, this is a lot to understand. These are just basics, and, you know, I'm almost out of time, but really understanding finance is a really big and wonderful thing, because when you understand finance, you know, and understand your money, like I said, you can create income, and you'll be able to, you know, to build your wealth and build your prosperity like you desire, and learn to live freely, you know, in this, you know, understanding these things. And you can go, there's two sites I want to give you, and it's thinroad.org/investors and learn to invest, and also investopedia.com. Like I said, I teach on, you know, the spiritual part, but I want to give the practical stuff, you know, of understanding, you know, how to have a healthy life financially. One of the things is that when you learn about finances, you begin to have a healthier life, because you're not tend to worry about things that you have control over. And so this is one of the things about, you know, giving people the right financial knowledge to really understand, to guide, you know, your finances. You know, at building for 20 years, you know, you read and you acquire all this financial knowledge and wisdom. In my other podcasts, I always say you have a spirit of love, empowerment, and wisdom. And it's true, because my spirit told me, years ago when I first got started, you are assured or guaranteed a wealth. And that's a promise that lies within us. And so that was my spirit told me that. And that's been true ever since. My best friend Nick learned that. And he's walking in that now. He's launching his big company, LB53. And it's been amazing to see, you know, his acumen. He gained a lot of financial knowledge about Wall Street and how to read stocks when he didn't even know about it. And I've been really thrilled about that. For him to see his success and his financial success and understanding, and he's learned how to, you know, build his company and manage his company, do budgets and everything. And this is from a total scratch, you know, not having financial knowledge before, but having financial knowledge will benefit you in everything. This is your host, Rick Rawls, for Generation Business. Thank you for joining me.